On this week's episode of Podcast 63, Lou and I break down the win against Evansville and the loss against SIU. We talk about how even though we beat Evansville, we didn't feel too good about it, and how disappointed we were to lose such a winnable game against SIU. We talk about how Krautwig's playing well despite a broken nose, how Marcus struggled for the first time this season in conference play, and how hopefully Clay has found his bounce-back game. Thanks for tuning in, and here's another episode of Podcast 63.
He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
Our Loyola Ramblers come into the final week of conference season with a record of 10-6 with two games left to go. The first game last week was a victory over Evansville. The final score there was 70-58. It was an interesting game. We won. That's what's important. Everyone is important coming down the stretch here. But I didn't feel too great about it, and I'm sure Lou will go into how he feels about it. All in all, a win's a win. Towns and Krautwig played well. Towns had 21, and Krautwig had 17. Like I said, a win's a win. How did you feel about the game, Lou?
Definitely, as Porter said, this wasn't really about a revenge for him. This was really more about just getting put it in the books, like just really getting that W, and we need that W, as our listeners and fans know. We just came off of two back-to-back losing games, tough ones to Missouri State and Bradley, and this was a game that we really needed to win, and this was a game that really at home, again, this is our second to last home game, so this is something that we need to give the crowd something to really cheer, and quite honestly, I don't know if those remember, we got spanked by these guys last time we played them. We lost by a whopping 19 points to the last place team in the Valley. That was early on in the Valley Conference play again, but still, that was not a game we should have lost or even gotten considerably crushed by. This game started off really hot. You cannot disagree that this game started off hot. We were 43 points in the first half to the 29. I believe Marcus came off right hot. Again, what about 17 points in the first half. But again, that second half kind of was a little weird. I totally agree. Marcus only had 4 points then from a 17. We only shot 2 threes and we missed them both, so that was kind of odd. But it was more of a half for maybe get more guys' minutes. I know we're going to talk about it. Isaiah had a few extra minutes, so I'd like to see. Overall, it was a decent W. It was a win, and that's what we needed coming off the two losses. But we'll go a little bit more into it in the quick hitters.
Yeah, so something a little weird that I just noticed right now. Evansville scored 29 points in both halves, and I don't know about you, but it felt like, God, it's way different. Like, I felt like Evansville scored, like, 35 to 40 points in that second half. So, I mean, decent halves defensively both games. I mean, you know, you hold your opponent to 58 points. It's a pretty good defensive showing. I don't know. I guess this is what I thought as far as, like, results-wise, what it would look like, but it just doesn't feel as good of a win. So let's jump into quick hitters. The first topic here, Lou talked about a little bit, but it was that sort of redemption game. One might think that after losing by 19, the players would want to get a little revenge on this Evansville team, but coming from the clubhouse after the game, that's not really what it was about. It was more about getting that win, a very important win that they needed, and they did secure. But I even though Porter said it wasn't about revenge or redemption, I can't help but think these players really wanted to just, you know, shove it down Evansville's throat and show them the business, you know, as the kids say nowadays. I don't know. What, Lou, do you have any thoughts?
It was just an interesting one. As we're really just going to say that, like, the loss has really hurt. I think there was something in their mouths. It was a little sour, tasted bad. So I think a little taste of victory was helpful. I think this was supposed to be, as we'll talk about later, it really didn't help. But this was supposed to be the start of a nice little maybe winning streak to start, especially with our second-to-last home game. Nice to be back in the home crowd after losing in front of the home crowd on the previous Sunday. So, yeah, we'll move with the big three.
Finally.
Finally, yeah. Clay really just showed us what he
did a lot last year and what we just kind of haven't seen this year. Again, it's a little different. Marcus has stepped up this year as the player of the year candidate. Clay was it last year. So again, as this team, we know the depth, but also the skill level of each player is amazing. And just certain years and maybe certain seasons and games, only certain players step up. But finally, we now see the big three. The big three for our listeners is Krawig, Marcus, and Clay. Mm-hmm. Clay had a great game in our standpoints, and in my opinion, in any college point guard standpoint. Beautiful 6 assists, which I love to hear, coming from a point guarding stat line. And that's just awesome because that means he's able to rotate the ball. It means he's getting and looking for other guys. He had awesome 9 points. Like, 9 points is really great to see. So it was just great to finally see that. Again, Marcus and Cam both putting up double digits, with Marcus hitting the 21 and Cam with 18. I believe Cam's was 13 in the second half, so he kind of helped Marcus's quiet second half after the hot, scorching first half. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then we'll go into maybe – we're not going to add him to the big three, but we'll go into Bruno and everybody else later. But really, I know it was interesting. I guess, do you have anything about the big three?
Yeah, I think two things stand out to me. Clay was really efficient. 9 points, 6 assists, 3 steals. He played 32 minutes. He was 4 for 7 from the field, and he hit the only 3-pointer he took. There wasn't much unused energy for him. Like, I think everything that he did was very pointed. He played good defense, as evident by the 3 steals. He wasn't, I don't know, he just wasn't wasting a lot of energy. I thought every time his name was called, or he was on the ball, or he was handling the ball, he was being productive, and that's what you want your point guard to do. Also, Marcus and Cam, both had six rebounds and 3 assists. Like, that's good numbers as far as some of the other, like, auxiliary stats go, some of the stats that aren't just scoring. But super impressive game from those three. Jumping in, talking about that second half, Marcus really struggled in that second half. He started off the game really hot. I think he had like 13 points in the first like 8 minutes and 17 points in the first half. But then only 4 points in that second half. But when you have a guy like Cameron Krawig step up and, as Lou said, score 13 points in the second half, that's kind of okay. You know, you can have a guy have one really good half and one not so great half if you have other guys stepping up. And even though no one else in that second half scored a lot of points, you had other guys like Bruno scoring a few, Clay scoring a few, and then they also played really good defense, which is evident when Isaiah came in, because that is Isaiah's calling card, as he's a great defender. But what did you think when Marcus stopped producing? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's more of a team aspect. I think we talk about like a dynamic duo between Marcus and Krawig this year, especially the conference play. And right now, well, yeah, Marcus was 1 for 5 from field goal, 0 for 2 from 3. Those are tough stats, but those 0 for 2, again, is the only 2 shots from 3 they took the whole second half. So I think that's where we're like, where are our shooters that we have on the team to step up and play? Clay had 6 assists in the whole game. Maybe you would like to see the ball even rotate a little more. Marcus had 3 assists in the second half, so he was trying to move the ball. But again, is kind of tough to watch the guy who scores all the time, but maybe want to see other guys get in. Cooper only had 4 minutes in this whole second half. Here, only 1. Isaiah, though, got those minutes, and with those minutes, he did great things. Only 1 for 3, but again, as for Isaiah, that's a great thing. He had a beautiful drive and contested layup. 3 rebounds, which is big for make sure we don't give up any offensive rebounds, and an assist. So yeah, it was those are things you like to see. Mm-hmm. Defense, he's always there, but yeah, I don't know. I think maybe a little bit more step up from other guys. Clay was a good game. Krawig again, 13 points the second half. But again, I'd like to see maybe bench get a few more minutes to understand. I know we only won by 12, but again, this was a game that we should have felt we had more control over. We had the control, but not a dominating control. And I think that's something that we need to start building as a whole team aspect, that domination in an entire game from start to end, especially as we have these final 2 games and into conference play for the tournament.
Yeah, just talking about all the other guys, so not the big three as we talked about before, but everyone else. One of the things I love to see that Isaiah does really well is he crashes the boards on defense. I think something that some of the other guards, such as Clay, Bruno, and Cooper, don't do all that well is that crashing the boards on defense. And I think Isaiah has such quick hands, and he's really lengthy. Like, he's got a really long wingspan. And so he can get up there and poke out the ball on rebounds or get up and grab a few. So I like to see that from Isaiah. He does a lot of little things really well. And I think the scoring will come in time. We've seen it flashes, driving to the hoop, driving in traffic and getting fouled. But I think that will just come with more time, more playing time. Some of the other guys, now kind of getting into like the lineup structure here, which has been pretty consistent for the last maybe six or seven games, which is the same starting five, and then Cooper coming off the bench and Frank coming off the bench. But this game was a lot different. Namely, Ahir Ugwak and Cooper Kiefer both played 15 and 17 minutes respectively, when recently they've been getting close to, if not 30 minutes or more. And then additionally, Isaiah got 22 minutes. But I think one of the things that bothers me the most is this split between Frank and Christian. I was okay with giving Frank all the minutes earlier. I'm okay with giving Christian all the minutes now, but I don't like what they're doing with giving Frank and Christian 4 minutes or 5 minutes or 6 minutes. That's not helping anyone. And you can't please everyone. You're not going to make, as a head coach, as for Porter, not going to make everyone happy. And I think if you pick one, you run with him. Frank is going to give you something completely different than what Christian's going to give you. And I know, Lou, you probably have a lot of opinions about that, too. But that's where I stand, and that's what frustrates me the most.
Yeah, I totally get it. It's kind of confusing with Bruno, the starting lineup. We all were like, okay, this is time for a junior guard to step up, especially to see what he can do, especially for a foundation for next year as maybe the oldest, one of the oldest players on the team, but also the oldest point guard in the team at that point. Yeah, definitely a game to kind of interestingly see how guys weren't getting minutes, especially with the Evansville team, even though we won by 12. Again, we didn't feel that dominance. And I think that was maybe a Porter idea. Again, we don't have him here to ask him, and maybe he won't tell, but maybe he just, in my eyes, I see that he wanted to make sure he got this win. He wanted to make sure he didn't go down a stretch of 0-3 in the last three games. He wanted to make sure he got a win against an Evansville team who crushed us last game. There's no other way to say it. They beat us by 19 points. And a last place team in the conference to do that to a team that's tied for first is a little embarrassing. So yeah, it's weird to see it. I get that you want to get the W and you want to get the win, but again, is we need guys, especially we'll talk about in the SIU game. Christian and Frank are our bench big guys. Those are the guys we want to be on the court to give big guys rest to make sure they know how to play competition in the conference play. And those are guys we want to see get boards, get buckets, put back dunks. I believe, was this the game that Christian got called for the goaltending?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so the again, basket interference.
And that was a tough one on Christian, and we'll definitely highlight a basket he had in SIU that's similar maybe to this. But those are minutes that we'd love to see these guys learn. This is Christian's really first games that he's getting a lot of minutes. Last year was a little different because he was a freshman, but now we need the big guys to get the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really going to talk about how that, in my opinion, could be a precursor to the SIU game with big guys. But yeah, Cooper, I think we need to talk about how with lineups where we need to give him the ball in a shooting, catch and shoot. I think that's what he is. Mm-hmm. I think he's a catch and shoot guy. Defense is still a little shaky, but again, as they're learning, Isaiah, great minutes. But again, I think if we're going to make it easy, again, I love the point, you can't make everyone happy, but you got to spread the minutes with the bench. The bench, you can't just have two guys coming off your bench getting the minutes. You need to know what a bench is for and the depth of a bench. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to wrap it up here for the Evansville game. The final score was 70-58. At this point, Loyola moved to have 10 wins in the conference season. And now we're going to move into the SIU game.
And the Ramblers are moving on!
The second game of the week didn't go as we had planned. Loyola dropped that game 63-53. That's how we felt. Really sad. Really sad because this game was so winnable. We had so many opportunities. We were up by 4 with like 9-ish minutes to go, 8 or 9 minutes to go. we had such a good, like, first 10 minutes of the game. Scoring was going well, playing good defense, creating turnovers, and we just couldn't finish it out. These are the type of games that I thought Clay and Marcus would really step up as seniors to just pull it out and fight and figure out a way to get stops, figure out a way to get baskets, and it just didn't happen. It just did not happen. One of the reasons why that didn't happen was we were 1-for-10 from three. Lou, what are you thinking?
Okay, we're going to talk quick hitters here, and they're going to be hard hitters. That's what it's going to be. Hurt. It's going to be hard hitters.
It's going to hurt.
It's going to be pain. And I think that we were talking about the Evansville game was that domination, and we talked about how there wasn't really any in the Evansville game, but we got the W. And that's the game that's like, hey, that you tell the team, hey, this team crushed us. This team won by 19. So you go into the SIU game, you're like, hey, we dominated SIU last time at home. We beat them 75-50, people. 25 points, you go, hey, that's a team that needs to show up. That's a team that needs to go now on the road and continue a winning streak to end the season strong into conference tournament play. To get that first place finish is what we need, is these wins. And what I'm worried about now is we lost this game. And how many more games do we have left? Two. You need to win three straight games on a road, technically, in a neutral site, but with fans from both, that's going to be big. But you need to win three straight games. Now, I know we've won three straight games before. I know we've done it. But the thing is that's worrying me, game, is this game was a winnable game. It wasn't just a winnable game. It was a definitely dominating game that could have happened, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And this reminds you of the Bradley game. This reminds you of the first Evansville game, maybe even Missouri State game. Because this team just is there, but then you're worried, where do they go? Because as we'll talk about it, there's a drought that happens. There's a like, whoop, where'd they go? Mm. They just disappear. And it's just tough to watch. And let's just go right in now, quick hitters.
Mm-hmm.
1-for-10 from three. As we talked about it, Evansville game, they only shot two in the second half. So you're like, where is this team? The team who was leading the Valley in three-point percentage, but not shooting threes right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's tough to watch. You have guys who can do it. The only three made in the whole game wasn't even taken until the end, close to the end of the second half.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sporadic three that, by the least, Clay, beautiful timing, I guess, of it. But yeah, it's a tough thing to really watch right now. You can't really say there's anything too exciting, but
yeah, I think the people I want to see shoot more, Cooper, we've talked about it. We want Cooper to shoot more. Also, though, Bruno came off a day when he went 3-for-3 from three, and he didn't even shoot a single three-pointer. I know, you know, sometimes the looks aren't there. You want a better shot. You know, Loyola likes to use most of the shot clock. But, hey, I mean, if you're hot, shoot it. Like, Bruno had to have been feeling himself a little bit after scoring 13 points and going 3-for-3 from three. You know, took two total shots in 30 minutes. It's not even like he wasn't out there. He was there. He was out there for 3/4 the whole game. Marcus was 0-for-5. That's unlike him. I mean, usually he's making at least one of those or two. Clay was 1-for-4. All of them were good looks. And there wasn't one that I wish he wouldn't have shot. I'm the guy that tells him or thinks that he should shoot more often. So 1-for-10 from three. That's a lot of the game right there. In addition to Marcus going 0-for-5, he struggled a lot, didn't he, Lou?
Yeah. I think that's just a tough thing. Marcus hit only really scoring from anywhere besides the 3-point line. Well, he had 10 rebounds. That's awesome to see.
Mm-hmm.
But then Krautwick had 4, and even Christian had 4. Ukok only 2. So it's really stinks. And Marcus had 5 turnovers in the game. That's really high from a team standpoint. I mean, from a player standpoint. The team only had 11. That's high too. But for one player to really have 5 is where it's tough. Again, I still think Marcus Towns player of the year. We'll talk about that later because it really relies on the next two games.
Mm-hmm.
But for a guy who's been hot the whole conference play and had a bad game, yeah, not everyone's going to be perfect, and we got to understand that. But let's talk about does he affect the game in many other ways? And 5 turnovers doesn't affect it positively. The 10 rebounds, yeah, that helps. But 5 turnovers definitely doesn't.
No assists also.
No assists by him. We'll talk about the team only had 4 assists the entire game, and it was only one assist from four players. So not even one other player had more than one assist, and Marcus had zero and five turnovers. So that's not a good assist to turnover ratio at all. 8 points, 4 for 15. So yeah, it was a tough game. Granted, Clay stepped up, and we like to see him shine. There's no way we can't deny that. But then we need other guys. If they're not there that game, if their shot's not there, they need to do other things. And you need to transition that from game to game. And as we said, Bruno shot was there the previous game. Transition that into the next game. Doesn't shoot a three, is over two, and is 0 points. Marcus, he's always usually there. He's the one stealing the ball. No steals, five turnovers, zero assist, and over five from three. So it was really a struggle to watch. Again, the game was never really out of hand till the end. But as we'll talk about right now, four assists total is just not good. And then now we'll maybe go into now if you want to talk about SIU stats.
Yeah, so some of the things SIU did really well that we needed to defend better, they had 9 offensive rebounds. We came into this game as the best team in the Valley in letting up the fewest amount of offensive rebounds, and this does not help. This is awful. It's poor blocking out. Usually you see Ahir come down and grab some boards. I don't know if they just were getting around Krutwig, but he only had 4 rebounds. 9 offensive rebounds is too many. And in addition to that, that allowed them to score 13 second chance points, which is just too many. You know, this team plays good defensive possessions. They play hard defensive possessions. But then when you give up offensive rebounds, it's really demoralizing. And I'm not sure if we need our guards to start coming down and crashing the boards, like Custer to come in or Bruno to come down. And, you know, just having extra bodies around the basket is helpful to secure defensive rebounds. But it's just it's too many. It's too much.
Yeah, I see that. And then it was tough to watch even when guys were down there. There was a play that I think we both can talk about where three of our guys, Krutwig and Marcus, were there. Maybe Bruno. I don't know who else. But they were there, and they let the offensive rebound just happen right in front of them. And then the guy goes up to the rim and scores. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand. Second-chance points are going to kill you, especially when you don't respond making your own second-chance points. 9 offense rebounds is just kind of atrocious to really let up to a game that really shouldn't have been like this. Another thing I when watching the game is we gave the baseline so many times and all they had to do was then dish it into the paint. And that was just a real constant thing SIU was doing, was driving baseline, dishing it in, and the guy was there. And we just looked like a chicken without its head, because anytime we were biting for the baseline, we let the other guy come in the paint, then we are lost. That was really tough to watch. In a stats point, was letting 9 offensive rebounds go and then the 13 second chance points. This game was a 10-point game. Reality, that was toward the end. You could say it was really a 4-6-point game. And 13 second chance points are just something that really can turn the tide, and it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely did. Jumping off from that, in addition to some of the things SIU did really well, just another thing we didn't do very well, in the last 9 minutes of the game, we scored a grand total of 6 points in 9 minutes. And that was when we were up by 4 points. We had just had the Christian Negron putback dunk to put us up 1. And then Clay went down and hit a 3. So we were up 47-43 with just under 9 minutes to go. And SIU went on a 20-6 run. Did they do some stuff well? Sure. But also, I think we just crumbled under the pressure. No one can make shots. Marcus missed a couple layups he usually makes. Krutwig, I know, missed a couple layups. Struggled from the free throw line. I mean, hey, it's little things, but I know both Cam and Clay split some free throws. You know, that's only 2 points that they could have made up, but all the little things add up, and we just weren't doing the little things in the last 9 minutes. I don't know. It was tough to watch, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. There's one thing about if you're only going to score 6 points in even last 10, 9 minutes, whatever minutes. But it's the thing is, SIU went on a 20-6 run. So if offense isn't there, you need to transition to the defense game. But letting a 26 run in any part of the game is a horrible part. And we've done that to teams this year. We've gone on beautiful runs where it was 20 to something runs. But when it's on the other end, it really is tough. But what we don't do there is panic. And that's not what we should do. But I think we did. We weren't set. Shots weren't going in. But then the defense wasn't there. Boxing out guys is what stops the second chance points. And it's just tough to really understand where everyone was on defense, especially since offense wasn't there. And SIU really just was always there during the game. Our guys just really just seemed a little step back. Again, Cameron and Clay had 17 points each. You can't be like, oh, where we had guys score, yeah. But an overall aspect, there were many things that just needed to be corrected. And it was just tough really to see. 26 to run to end a game is just not something you want to really hear coming off the stat sheet.
Yeah. Well, I think we've talked about enough of the bad stuff. Let's talk about some of the good stuff from this game against SIU. So both Cam and Clay scored 17 points. And at different points in the game, they looked fantastic. There was a short little burst, I think the first maybe 4, 5, 6 minutes, where Cam scored 8 or 10 points, and he looked dominant. And it looked like if we could keep feeding the ball and he could keep making moves, that it was just going to be a clinic. And, you know, props to SIU. They figured out how to stop him. They took a couple charges. They made him create a couple turnovers, some really ugly shots from Cam, which I haven't seen very often, one where he literally shot it while he was falling down. So they figured out a way to defend him. I mean, he still shot 7 of 11. That's pretty impressive. So they didn't completely shut him down, but they made him frustrated, and I think this is the first time this season where I've really seen Cam frustrated. But still, for the first, you know, 10 minutes of the first half, he played really well. On another note, Clay played really well at times. He was hitting that mid-range jumper, which is really fun to see. He was driving to the hoop. He was taking good looks from three. I know he only made 1 of 4, but very easily he could have sunk, you know, the other three or two of the other three that he had missed. And I think if Cam and Clay play like this, and we have the Marcus Towns that we know and love and can be the player of the year, this team is going to go far. But it's just a matter of piecing it all together at the same time. And also, just because players are playing well on defense doesn't mean they can dog it on the defensive end. What were your thoughts as far as like positive thoughts on the game? We're going to stick to positive thoughts.
Yeah, really not so many positive thoughts. True. But yeah, again, this is the second straight game. Clay saw light. Clay saw something that was great, and it was great to see. Kind of weird to see him have 6 assists in the Evansville game, but only 1 here. But again, he dropped 17 points. So finding his shot or his even scoring is great to see. I think that's something you want to look into for the conference play. Krawig, 17 points, can't really ask a kid to do anything else. Maybe a few more rebounds. Again, that, in my opinion, when you see him with low rebounds, again, him with only 4 and Marcus with 10, I think that leads into the innuendo of offensive rebounds by SIU.
Mm-hmm.
That really just leads you to open that door and be like, oh, Krawig didn't have high rebounding. Why was that? SIU was there for the offense rebounds. But, yeah, I think you saw a few guys get minutes. That's a good thing to see. But I'll be quite honest, it's tough to really come up with something as great as only two guys dropping 17 points.
Yeah.
Free throw percentage wasn't too bad. 66%, yeah.
That'll get it done on some days when you're shooting well from three. But to have a game where you shoot 1 of 10 from three and go 66% from the free throw line, you can't really have both.
Yeah, no, you can't. So I'll be quite honest with you. It was a tough one for those listeners out there. Reality, it's great to see. It's great to see Clay score. You can't say that's a bad thing. But as a team, there are many things to work on, and I hope they do. I really do. We got 2 games, and as of right now, it's tied still for first. We're still in this heat. But we need to win these next 2 games, guys. If we want to continue being this basketball team, I'm not asking for a Final Four run every year. I'm just asking for consistency, which I believe we are last in, right, if you want to hit on that.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the websites I mentioned many times before on the podcast – is Haslametrics, and they have a metric that measures just how consistent teams are. So kind of like a spread between the most impressive and the least impressive games. So for instance, our best game as far as his metrics go is the Indiana State game at home, which we dominated, and our worst game is the Missouri State game on the road. But it measures how consistent you are, and we as a team are dead last. We are 353rd in consistency, which to our listeners is not a big surprise. Maybe it's a surprise that we're in dead last, but this team has just been so up and down, and it is difficult to watch it sometimes. But yeah, so just our little last point here. We're going to run through the other players that that aren't Clay, Cam, or Marcus, and tell you our thoughts on them. So my thoughts on Ahir, I thought he played really well. I thought he found a shot a couple times. He had a few steals. He played 34 minutes. I wish he would have gotten more rebounds. But as far as like the game goes, one turnover, he did all right. What do you think about Isaiah's game?
Yeah, Isaiah coming off a strong game at Evansville. I don't know. It was weird. It was nine minutes of a game. Again, a steal. You always get that from Isaiah. No matter what game it is, the kid will get you a steal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's awesome. I think if you put him in a point of like, hey, I need a steal here, he'll get it for you. Mm-hmm. Two fouls. He had one rebound, one assist. One of four assists for the entire game. To have a bench guy get the one of four assists from an entire game is something to see. But no shots, and that was tough. A decent game for the minutes he played. I think the steal is what you're just like happy to see the consistency of a steal from Isaiah.
Yeah, Bruno 30 minutes, and that's pretty much it. He's 0 for 2, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 rebounds. But when you play 30 minutes, that's an awful stat line. There's no other way to put it. At this point, I'd rather give Isaiah those 30 minutes. What do you think about Christian's game?
Christian, I liked it. Another game that he came in, but okay. So the kid had a great game. You gotta admit that. One turnover. That was. I don't know if they're counting the one I'm thinking of right now. But a putback dunk from Barboy Christian should have been in the top 10. ESPN, I think. Beautiful. Again, we talked about this Evansville game. He got caught for interference at the rim. But this game, he showed you what he can do. He's got the ability, so I know he's there. He had a great move under in the post. The kid's there. A little trouble with the fast break, but again, that might have been his only fast break he's seen in a few years. So again, maybe he's still a little – got to really control himself in situations. But he looked pretty decent out there, and I'm happy he got his 4 points because those 4 points are what we needed.
Last but not least, Cooper – 12 minutes, not a lot of minutes. I don't know, Porter just might not be thinking he's playing great defense. But again, similar to Bruno, in his 12 minutes, he did nothing other than get an assist and also turn the ball over once. So not a great game from him. But that'll do it for that SIU game. The final score was 63-53. Loyola moved into a three-way tie again for first place with Drake and Missouri State. They now sit at 10-6 in the conference and 17-12 overall. That'll do it for the SIU game, and we'll be talking more Blurs basketball after this.
And the Ramblers are moving on!
So then the next game on our conference slate is coming against Northern Iowa. It is this upcoming Wednesday. We are playing at Northern Iowa. It's a really important game. I mean, every game from now on is super important. This one worries me a bit. I was a little more confident in the SIU game, but this one, UNI has been hot. They've won four in a row. The past four games, they've had someone score 20 points. It's been three different guys have scored 20 points. So these teams coached by Ben Jacobson just always seem to do super well at the end of the season. I don't know. Lou, what are you thinking?
I think the only thing I can add on, they're on a great streak, but right now, a streak we'd like to be on. Mm-hmm. But the last time we played UNI at home was tough. There's no way to put it besides being tough. We won the game, but if those of you know, we needed the beautiful three from Cameron Krutwig to help us win the game. And as I'm looking at it now, we had to drop 35 points in the second half to come back and win the game. Again, we didn't need the comeback. They had a late three to put it from 57 to 60. So in reality, it was a 4-point maybe swing, you could say, that we won by. But if we had to put up 35 points in the second half, coming off a game that we didn't have any second half points, we need to really fine-tune. I believe we've talked about this. this was the game we thought would be the loss, not the SIU. Mm. And that's what I'm worried about. I can still see us losing this game because we got to be credit to UNI. They are tail end of the season team. They always come up prepared to play, and they're on a winning streak right now. And this is away, just to let people know. What are we not really good at this year is away games,
yep.
Especially in conference. So I'm really hoping this game, though, is a game that people are like, hey, let's play tough, let's play hard. Cam had a great game last time, 22 points, 9 for 12 from field goals. That's something you want to see. But things I'm going to want to see is I want to see Marcus rebound from SIU game, and there's nothing wrong with him not scoring what he's done in the SIU game. There's not everyone's perfect, but I think this is a game where he should come out hot. I'm hoping Krutwig really goes, and I hope assist and three-pointing shots are actually going to be more than a single digit.
Yeah.
I think you need to move the ball, and when you move the ball, the shots are there, and you find your shots. Maybe we can see Cooper come in there and make a shot. I don't know. I think we need to move the ball around, find an assist, find the open man, and then find the three, and I think that could help.
Yeah, last time out, Northern Iowa made 11 three-pointers. They were 11 of 22. Not an unreasonable percentage for them to shoot, but still 11 three-pointers. That's a very high number, so hopefully we can start defending the three a little bit better. We only had 10 turnovers that game, and Northern Iowa only had 8. So it was a pretty well-played game as far as that goes. I would love to see Loyola try to create some more turnovers. Whether that's taking some charges or getting a few steals or some shot clock violations. One way or another, I think Loyola is going to have to create some turnovers to win this game or get hot from three. We made 6 three-pointers last time against Northern Iowa, the one by Krutt. Towns had 2 and Bruno had 3. So hopefully we can figure out a way to score some points. It's probably going to be a low scoring game. Any Northern Iowa team plays pretty good defense. We are a good defensive team as far as points allowed go per game. So it probably will be a defensive battle. That's why I think turnovers are going to be such an important thing to monitor. Can't have Marcus having 5 turnovers again. And we need to create our own turnovers. The lineups are going to be something to keep an eye on. They've kind of been in flux recently after this past week with the games against Evansville and SIU. If it's going to be a defensive battle, you know, I would love to see Isaiah continue to get some minutes. He's playing great defense. He gets you steals. He's been pretty good with the ball recently. He's not turning it over a lot. Obviously something's going wrong with Cooper. I don't know if he just doesn't have the confidence or the coaching staff doesn't have the confidence in him right now, or he's lost confidence in his shot, but he's had a rough 4 or 5 games in a row. So love to see Isaiah get some more play time, Frank get in there to get some blocks, but it's going to be a defensive battle. It definitely will be. You have any last thoughts on this upcoming game?
Yeah, I just think, with guys like Cooper and certain guys, maybe to get the ball by giving assists to them. Again, we don't know what's going on in the locker room or anything, where their head's at. But I think if you move the ball around, get the assist, you find an open man, and it really, after a few minutes, there will be an opening, and I think that's where we need to start just pushing it to the rim and scoring and then shooting out from deep. So, yeah.
So one of the important storylines to keep an eye on is the race of the conference. So right now there are three teams tied for first place, the same two teams as last week, Loyola, Missouri State, and Drake. Both teams were 1-1 this week. But one team that has been kind of chomping at the bit is this Northern Iowa team. As I mentioned, they've won 4 in a row. They're only 1 game back. They're 9-7 in conference. So although we have a 3-way tie for first place right now, it is possible to finish the season with a 4-way tie. One Twitter account that I follow, the Catch and Shoot, had what would happen if Northern Iowa wins both of their games and the other three teams each win one. All 4 teams would finish with a record of 11-7. It's unheard of, unprecedented to have 4 teams tie for first place. It's never happened in the Missouri Valley Conference. Seeding would be absolutely bonkers. If you want to see how that would all shake out. Please go and follow the Catch and Shoot. It's great content. They talk about a lot of Illinois basketball, Loyola basketball, Missouri Valley Conference, UIC. They talk about a whole bunch of stuff there. But one way we can avoid that four-way tie scenario is if Loyola beats Northern Iowa. If Loyola wins this game, Northern Iowa is officially eliminated from getting first place or tying for the conference championship, and it would be between these three teams. As I mentioned in the last podcast, Drake and Missouri State have a game against each other at the final game of the season. So if Loyola wins both of their games, at worst, they would share the conference title with only one other team, be it Drake or Missouri State. It is possible that they still win the title outright. It's increasingly unlikely, just because of our recent loss to SIU. But Loyola still does control their own destiny to some extent. If they win both of the games, they're going to win at least a share of the conference title. That doesn't necessarily mean we'll be the first place, the first seeded team in Arch Madness. If Missouri State wins both of their games and we win both of our games, Missouri State will be the number one seed. So we don't control our destiny on that aspect, but we do control our destiny in at least tying for a share or winning a share of the title. So it's very confusing, and it could all get way more confusing if Northern Iowa beats us on Wednesday, or it could get a lot simpler if Loyola just decides to show up and win, and hopefully win decisively. The last thing we wanted to touch on here is Lucas Williamson, his injury. He's getting really close to coming back. It sounded like, and it looked like, he was trying to go and trying to play against Southern Illinois on Sunday. He was in the warmups. There was a picture that the Twitter team or the team posted on their Twitter, and Lucas was warming up and was in his uniform. But Porter said that he was trying to go and the medical team did not clear him for that game. Porter's also said that he's confident that Lucas will be back for Arch Madness, and he's hopeful that he's going to be able to start playing at least some minutes before Arch Madness, which means, you know, either in this game against Northern Iowa or the final game at home against Bradley. But this team, I needs him. I don't know if he's necessarily a cure-all. I don't know if he's going to solve all of our problems. But hey, I mean, for a team that's increasingly inconsistent, any sort of change might be something that helps. At this point, I don't think it's going to hurt much to add Lucas Williamson back into the mix. At the very least, he's going to give you great defense. And another guy who can box out and be a good rebounder. And at the very best, he's someone who can hit from three and drive to the hoop and score 15 or 20 points a game if he's asked to do so. So we'll keep you updated on – follow our Twitter page, Podcast 63, for updates on the Lucas Williamson injury and any more updates as far as the Northern Iowa games go – or the Northern Iowa game or the Bradley game goes coming up this week. But other than that, we're going to end it here. It's been another episode of Podcast 63 here with Buck and Lou. I hope you enjoyed it, and go Ramblers.